So my guest tonight then is a comedian, a writer, a TV presenter, and a man who could probably tell you where to get some decent home and car insurance. Jason Manford, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very good, how are you?
Not too bad at all.
Now, you're coming to Yeovil later this month as part of your stand-up show. We'll come on to that in just a second, because
yeah.
There's lots to talk about with your career, but I want to start sort of right at the beginning and how you actually got into comedy and ended up doing your first gig, because that's, if this is true, it's quite, you know, almost a romantic story in many ways. Could you explain
yeah,
for us?
Yeah, I know what you mean. But it's, yeah, it is true. I used to work in a bar, and it also had like a pub, and it also had a comedy night running. And I sort of used to watch every week. I was only 17. Used to watch every week. And then one night, I mean, it happened a couple of times, but particularly this night, about sort of three or four of the acts hadn't turned up. They were coming up from London and had not made it. And the promoter was panicking a bit. And I sort of thought, I might have a go here. And that was it. I had a go, got up on stage, and it sort of went well. And that was, what, 10 years ago? So it was from there, really.
As with most comedians, you have a love of comedy. You sort of grew up admiring comedians and certain types of comedy. So who are your, if you like, comedy heroes? Let's talk about that.
Well, for me, I think it was always sort of old-fashioned entertainers, I think. You know, I like Les Dawson and Tommy Cooper and Malcolm and Wise. And then I saw Billy Connolly when I was a kid and just thought he was just amazing. You know, I just thought, this guy's phenomenal. And from that, really, you know, I always had just an interest in comedy, and then sort of working at a club helped as well, you know, seeing people like Peter Kay and Johnny Vegas and Steve Coogan and all them, you know, they all have an influence on you in the end.
How do you go about sort of writing the material for the stand-up show? Is it everyday life experiences, or do you sort of scour the papers trying to find topical stuff? What's your sort of writing ethic, if you like, before you prepare on a stand-up tour?
For me, it's mainly it's everyday observations, and you know, my family are very funny and stuff as well, so that helps, being surrounded by comedians. So yeah, just gradually you sort of build up an act, and it, you know, and you're saying it and it's getting laughs. You think, oh, that's all right, I'll keep that.
From the age of 17, the career sort of, it really just sort of take off reasonably quickly. It's fair to say you were getting sort of a lot of good attention and winning a few awards on the way. And sort of, where was sort of, if you like, the climatic moment, the big moment where you sort of, you know, you really arrived at the big gig or the big sort of chain of events?
I suppose it was going up to Edinburgh, the Edinburgh Festival in 2005, and I took a show up and I was in this tiny venue. Sort of, you know, 50 seats, and I took a show up and about urban legends, which had always been sort of an interest, you know, an area that I'd always been interested in. And then I just thought, you know, this will make a good show. Went up to Edinburgh and it did well and got nominated for Perrier and stuff. And then from there, really, you sort of become officially funny, I think, when somebody gives you an award or you get nominated for a big award, and TV people started sort of coming to see the show. And then all of a sudden, you know, people said, oh, I think I was a guest on 8 out of 10 Cats a couple of times, and then Dave Spiker decided to leave, and I was in. And that was the start, really.
Now, I want to talk about 8 out of 10 Cats, because it does look like a lot of fun and a good laugh to film. I take it it is?
It's a right laugh, yeah. I mean, sometimes I forget I'm on it, you know, and I'm actually just stood there, so sat there watching Sean and Jimmy having a laugh, and I think, oh, I better say something funny myself here in a few minutes. So it's just, you know, imagine just having the best job in the world, going to work once a week, and you know, just having a laugh with your pals. That's essentially what it is.
Now, you may or may not answer these next two questions. You may answer one and may not answer the
All
other.
Right,
but here we go. Oh, you get a very wide and varied type of guests on 8 out of 10 Cats.
Oh yeah.
So, who's been your favourite guest? Who's been your least favourite?
Well, favourite's easy, because you know, you get big stars on as well. You know, sometimes you get like Joan Rivers, or I mean, even like Chris Hoy, who'd just come back from the Olympics, David Walliams and Johnny Vegas and Vic Reeves, all these great stars. And then worst is hard, really, obviously, because we want them to come back on. But probably when we do the Big Brother ones, I think, you know, you sort of get some of the people on from Big Brother who, I mean, some of them are dead nice and really lovely people, but some of them, as you can imagine, are a little bit egotistical.
Yeah, I've had my fair share and the pleasures of meeting the Big Brother lot. One thing, I met Grace from Big Brother, who was really slated in the house, and
yeah,
I actually met her. She was really nice.
I thought she was lovely. Yeah. Charlie from Big Brother, we had on last year, who was a bit of a nightmare, and sort of stormed off halfway through. Halfway through the show, but. I don't know. I mean, generally, people are pretty good when they come on the show and they have a laugh and they get stuck in.
That's what it's all about. But do you find, in your job, you're probably very well placed to answer this question, but having a laugh as such is getting harder and harder in this country, because every single joke or comment you seem to make down the pub to a mate here, whatever, is completely scrutinised nowadays. So just coming to being slightly serious for a second, do you sort of feel that? It's a really sort of dangerous environment, I think. The jokes are always becoming, forbidden fruits at the moment in some areas.
Yeah, I mean, every so often there's it's a bit like this, you know what I mean? Even if you go back to, Lenny Bruce, it's not as bad as that, where the police are waiting outside the club to arrest you for something you've said. So, I think every so often, the swingometer swings in that direction, and at the moment it's just there, it's a bit to the right. And hopefully it'll calm down and we can all get on with just having a laugh and people just watching the shows that they want. I mean, I don't really understand why... at the end of the day, I've got Sky or, Virgin or one of these things, and, there's about 200 channels, and obviously only about 20 of them are any good, but that's still quite a lot of selection. It's not like back in the day with Mary Whitehouse where there's three channels or whatever, and that's all you had to choose from. So I think there's a time and a place for adult humour and swearing and stuff. I don't swear an awful lot in my set. That's not because I'm censoring myself. I just never have. I don't swear, generally in life, so I don't do it on stage either. So, but I certainly think, as far as freedom of speech is concerned, then don't want to watch something, just turn the telly over, get over it.
Exactly. A joke, by definition, is a joke. It's not, it's not a serious statement. You're not trying to actually have a. It's a joke. It's to make people laugh, to make people smile.
I think so. And as far as I don't really tell any contentious jokes, but. As far as swearing is concerned, I think, certainly you wouldn't do it on the radio where, kids could be listening and stuff. And
please,
you wouldn't do it. No. And, but there is a time and a place. I occasionally drop one in it if I think, well, this will make this funnier, or it's a quote from somewhere else where there was a swear word in it originally or something. But I think if you use it too much, then it loses its meaning and then there's no point saying it just becomes a bit gratuitous, and I sort of agree with that to a certain extent. But at the end of the day, you're watching Jonathan Ross, watching Mock the Week or 8 Out of 10 Cats. These are shows on at after 10 o'clock on the telly, and there's going to be adult humour involved. If you're a bit sensitive, then don't watch it. I mean, if Trevor McDonald started slipping in the odd swear word during the news, then I'd start getting offended. But
I'd watch it more, to be honest.
Well, same way, so would I. But I could see people's point, if they were doing it on Garden Force or something.
Yeah.
Or whatever, cash in the attic.
Well, I don't know. Have you ever seen Tommy Welsh when he's at his fun with a hammer? Fingers crossed. I agree with everything you've said there, but the worrying thing nowadays is you don't actually have to, apparently, it's been well documented, but you don't actually have to see anything or hear anything to be offended by it, it would appear nowadays, but there
no,
we go.
No, quite right, yeah, quite right. I mean, people do get... I did a joke on Live at the Apollo the other week about Mick Hucknall, and who I've not really got anything against, I don't mind him, but, as part of the sort of... I needed a comedy person to... to sort of pick on, and I thought, right, I'll pick on him. And basically, the line goes, I won all the money on the lottery. One of the first things I'd do is I'd buy every single ticket to the next Mick Hucknall concert and then not bother going. And it's sort of, it's just a silly gag. And I mentioned a thing about, with him being ginger or something.
I was about to say, I knew there'd be a hair colour reference in there.
Oh, yeah, there's got to be,
Yeah, there's no point. There's no point mentioning Mick Hucknall if there's not, is there?
Exactly. And then the next week, three or four emails saying I found that offensive. I'm a ginger man, or I've got such and such a thing with a ginger son or whatever, and I found that, I think, okay,
Yeah, get over it. But I'm sure during your stand-up show, there's times where you're absolutely slaughtering yourself over various things. You don't complain about that, do you, if you know what I mean?
No, exactly. You just think everyone... It's not that I'm... I've not come with it the... sort of Bernard Manning thing where I've just gone, well, I take the mickey out of everybody and and race and religion and all that sort of stuff. It's gone, what, pick one thing about a bloke with ginger hair, about a specific bloke as well with ginger hair. Not, I didn't say all ginger people are like this, you know, and this and people get offended by the littlest thing. So hopefully it'll calm down. That's the main thing.
I hope so. Otherwise, it's like, you know, you have to. It's like walking on eggshells some nights on stage.
Yes, I know.
I would imagine you have to be very careful. Coming back to the show that's coming to the Oxygen Theatre on the 20th of February, Friday night. Just tell us a bit about this show that you're actually performing here.
Well, I mean, this is. It's not got a show title. I mean, if it did, it'd probably be something like "Funny Things That I Think." That's what it'd be. But the poster company, they charge you by the word, so I thought, there's a credit crunch on, I'm not paying for that. So I've just called it Jason Manford, and this is sort of a lead up to recording my DVD and stuff as well. So the show that you'll see will be the DVD at Christmas, and it's just sort of just daft things about my family and about being on tour, about driving, about football, about television, and like I said, just funny things that I've sort of come up with over the years, and it's going well so far. The show's, I mean, I don't have a support act or anything, I just sort of do it all myself, really. So the show's about 2 hours, and there's a break in the middle, and then if it's going well, I'll come back on, do a little encore, and we have a little Q&A session where people ask us questions, and that's me done.
Sounds fantastic. You mentioned you mentioned football there briefly. I've got to sort of mention Manchester City. You're obviously a massive Manchester City fan.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you make of the whole situation there at the moment? The money's no object.
Brilliant.
Well, yeah, bring it on.
It's one of them things, I think. If it was any other club, I'd be going, terrible for the game. Terrible for the game. But when it's your club, you go, brilliant. So I think that's what stage I'm at. It's about time we had a chance to big sugar daddy to help us out. So there's certain clubs, I think, and City is one of them, who... It really doesn't matter if you know, we could be in the cup, we could be in like 3 cup finals, and you know, and top of the league with 2 games to go, with a billionaire in charge or whatever, and we'd still end up losing it. You know, we're just sort of one of those types of clubs, I think, who sort of just likes to tease the fans.
So what's next for Jason Manford then? You finish this tour in a couple of months' time. Have you got anything lined up after that?
Yeah, I mean, the tour finishes end of March, and then there's a bit of a break while I do some sort of TV bits and bobs. So hopefully 8 out of 10 Cats is back over the summer, and working on a couple of BBC projects as well, another sort of a panel show on BBC One, and sort of a kids family show as well for Saturday Tea Times for BBC One as well. So hopefully that'll take over the summer, and then come the autumn I'm going to pick up the tour again, just do some places that I either didn't get to do or sold out quite well or I enjoyed doing, take the show back to there, and that'll sort of lead me up to recording my DVD in September for Christmas,
just in time for the lucrative Christmas market.
That's the idea, but we'll see. This year there's much more of a credit crunch on this year, so
which is why we need to, you know, laugh more, isn't it?
Exactly.
We need to cheer ourselves up, get through it together, you know, that's what it's all about. Jason Manford, thank you much for joining us. He's at the Oxygen Theatre, Yeovil, Friday the 20th of February. Go along and see it, Jason. Thank you very much.
Lovely. My pleasure, Neil. Thanks.